Ready to start. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It is 2:21 p.m. on Monday, July 20th, 2020. This is a work session on case number PU-19-306. I'm Commissioner Brian Crashus, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. I don't have any opening comments. Do either of you?
I don't, just that, is it all three cases, 19-306, 307, and 317?
That is a good point. So it would be 306, 307, and
317.
Jack, is
that
correct?
Yeah, they all go together.
Okay, so 306, 307, and 317. Okay. Jerry, did you have some opening comments or questions that you wanted to ask?
I could just start with where we left off. There was a work session or an informal hearing, and there was a request for information from the parties on a shorter period for amortizing the expenses of retiring those plants. If you remember right, it was Lewis and Clark 1, Heskett 1 and 2. And they had proposed in the settlement a 15-year amortization. And the commission asked them to look at something shorter. And so they filed an exhibit that brought us into the 7-year amortization range. And that would be using the projected savings from retiring those plants, so the existing rates. And I drafted an order that accepts that. It's not exactly 7 years, but it is using the savings to be put towards the balance until it's cleared that they wanted to amortize. Problem is, you know, we don't know exactly what those costs are going to be. And so we're just using our best guesses on it. And if they were to have a rate case between the time that it's fully amortized, we'd have that balance to decide what we wanted to do with during the rate case. But otherwise, if we can get it amortized before the rate case, then we don't have to deal with it in the rate case. So you're still back to the question on whether or not it's prudent to retire those plants.
I would think it would be unlikely that there's not going to be a rate case for, you know, the likelihood this is going to, it would be about 7 years. So to think that even 5 or 6 years that there's not going to be a rate case, I kind of doubt it. So I think we'll be dealing with it, but.
But I like amortizing it over the shorter amount of time.
I do too.
I do too. So
I thought that was good information they provided. I'm glad we explored it.
Would it be possible? Oh, Randy, did you have stuff? I just have two things, but it's.
I think
I can go last.
Jack was just about to say something on that.
Jerry, when I read the settlement agreement that you passed, or not the settlement, the order that you passed along, though, it doesn't actually set the 7-year amortization period. This is just where we expect it to go with the offsets. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, what it says is they would amortize the amount that they amortize would be equal to the savings from the other plants.
Right.
We don't have exact numbers, but the 7 is just what.
So from that aspect, we're actually rejecting the amortization period and not setting a new one, and just saying offset those the cost with the savings until a future rate proceeding.
Yes, okay. That's correct.
Randy, did you want to go?
Do we have any people calling in?
On the
we usually announce that, and it doesn't have to do with me going now. My question is fine whether there is or not, but we usually announce if like company representatives are online.
Well, it's a work session, so I didn't on okay. the previous, but...
We do have MDU people in the GoToMeeting, and then we do have some listening on the public bridge.
Okay, good. So here was my concern with this order, because I interpreted it too that we're not setting an amortization period, we're eliminating the 15-year period, going to collect based on the savings, and we expect that that would come out to be around 7 years.
Right.
But in on page 3 of this proposed order, kind of in the discussion area and then moving down into the actual commission orders, we mentioned that there's a settlement earlier, and now we're accepting the settlement except one part. What I don't find in here is any statement that advocacy staff and or the company have agreed to the settlement as this would now be left. So is there a settlement for us to be referencing if it doesn't include the 15-year amortization period? They both talked about being fine with it, but that's not really referenced in the order here.
No additional.
So our thought on that is that we modified the settlement agreement. They can take it or leave it.
So either side could actually appeal this, or...
They could say that it wasn't our modifications weren't acceptable to them, but I wouldn't foresee that happening.
What's the time frame for that? How long is this hanging out there that we, if this were adopted just as it is, that this would be, you know, something that we think is done, and then all of a sudden we find out that someone finds it unacceptable.
You mean the time period we would wait for the notice of appeal?
Is that what would happen here? There'd be a notice?
Well, there are a number of things that could happen. If we do a modification and they don't agree with it, I mean, they could ultimately probably... They could ask to reopen the proceeding on this. I mean, it doesn't end up being an end-all, be-all from that aspect. Also, I'm sure, I believe the original settlement had the basis, and if to the extent that it was changed, I'm sure they usually put in their settlement that they may ultimately not, they may withdraw this from the settlement at that point in time as well.
Is my memory deceiving me, or didn't we do, didn't we have something where there was a settlement in the past, and there was one piece of the puzzle that we changed, and advocacy and the company just changed that in their settlement, and they both signed a new settlement, and we had it?
Yes.
Would that not be a better way to go?
If that's if the commission would like advisory staff to request that, we could go that route. Usually that it isn't until we've gotten commission direction to go in that direction.
We usually have or have not?
Usually that's not something we do until we have commission direction to negotiate this with the various parties. They could both stipulate to the order if you guys had any thoughts on or concerns on the front end of that.
I don't like to think that we might end up doing this over and over. You know, like if it made a big difference to somebody whether this order said 7 years as opposed to this basing it on the savings and seeing how it plays out.
Sure.
I guess I'd have some flexibility. I'm glad that we're lowering it from the 15. I thought that was excessive.
Okay.
But I don't object to doing it just as written here, but I'd feel even better if there was a new settlement.
I don't think that this settlement would cause any problems with the parties. However, in the event that there is some sort of concern, we could we can meet with the parties and ensure that that is the case.
Yeah.
And then how are
they? And I think that they're fine with it too.
Yeah, I'm under the understanding that the company is they find it acceptable. Advocacy finds it acceptable. You've heard from the three of us, we find it acceptable. But to Commissioner Christman's point, reaching out to the company to confirm that acceptance and then just incorporating it into the order with a simple sentence, or that in effect becomes the new settlement?
It would be our modification of the settlement.
Additional thought by a possible mechanism. I feel like we talked about it at the hearing, in which case I feel like the company said they'd be open to that. So could another alternative be just including that in the findings of fact, that the company and advocacy testified at the hearing that they'd be open to modifying the amortization schedule?
That was really what I kept waiting for here.
Sure.
Yeah.
I recall that we discussed similar things regarding various amortization schedules. To the extent that the order is written, I think as Jerry wrote it out, it's implied. I think if you're fine with this, you're going to be okay with that as well. I don't think anyone expressly said verbatim what we wrote in that ordering provision, though, that the companies were agreeable to that, to that note. To me, it seems like that would be clear that they would be, but it isn't
so
absolutely set forth in the
record. Would it be as simple as reaching out to the company, getting correspondence from them, and then incorporating on July 22nd? The company agreed.
We could request that the parties stipulate to this ordering provision, or that they have any issue that they could raise it with us.
Or just ask them to redo the settlement. I'm sure they would.
Well, I don't have strong feelings about it one way or the other. I bring it up as just
The
simplest way.
Kind of left me wondering. Yeah, whatever is the most clear and quick way.
One thing that's probably worth bringing up regarding how this mechanism works is generally in the past, when we've done something like this, we usually held it aside in a rider so it was easier to track. I don't think that was set forth in the modification, Jerry?
Yeah, say that again.
So Jerry, I'm sure as you recall, in the past when we've done similar type of things, we usually set aside into a rider because it was easier to track. But
okay.
That was not set forth in what you provided. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, it's something that could be done. It would lock in how much is being amortized a little bit better for audit purposes.
So do you think that would be a better way of doing it?
To see what they say.
For you guys, would it be easier?
They have a renewable energy rider, resource rider, something.
Right.
No, generation resource rider, I think it's called. Maybe they like to put it in there.
Well,
rather than put a new rider.
I guess not asking what they'd like, what would you like? And what do you think, staff? What do you think, what would be easier for the commission to track?
I don't care. When I say what would they like to do, they have to make the computer stuff work. And they already got so many riders out. I don't know what their capabilities are of adding another rider, another billing on the line item, another line item on the billing.
Well, I think they're capable of doing that. In their settlement, they said they may request this through a generation cost recovery rider. So, I mean, it certainly seems like that's on the table.
Yeah, they already have that rider.
Right, and they said they may request recovery in the rider regardless.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't have a problem with going in a rider. Maybe it's preferable.
Okay.
Okay.
Jack, do you have the filing from June 1st or whatever, the company, the exhibit that they filed?
Was it the additional data?
Yeah, commission.
In front of me.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. The second page of that where it goes over the incremental cost of adding a combined cycle now and a comparison to the cost of adding a combined cycle a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what they sent? Would you be able to walk through that? I had a hard time deciphering this.
Sure.
Are you talking the avoided costs?
The what?
Avoided costs?
No. Well, it's a whole response to commission questions. It's docket number 65, 63, and 66.
I'll try to walk through it. I provided the explanation in an email a while back. But I apologize. I didn't have an opportunity to really do the same type of review before I walked in here today. But for the most part, I think one of the key points is the costs avoided by the building the larger combined cycle today, a cost avoided. That is really kind of the savings that you'd see hypothetically today, as opposed to if you built that at a later date.
Right.
However, there are additional costs, and you can see how variable they are from upgrading it to a combined cycle from $5 million to $100 million if you look at the next line item down. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it almost appears like, well, not that, I think it was $14 million on the $14.25 million that possible savings on if it was on the high end.
Where is that?
That's the cost avoided by building the larger HESC combined cycle. That's the 10 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2.25.
Low end was $4.25 million.
Right.
Yeah.
The 4.25 to 14.25. That's kind of the range of the savings. While that's not negligible, the additional cost that we may have to do from transmission study and upgrades is astronomical. what it seems to do when I was reviewing it was it shows that in the event that this is not needed in the future, we hypothetically are saving lots of money as opposed to the savings that we would have by absolutely constructing into a combined cycle currently. That 14 on the high end, 14.25 mm-hmm. million.
It's kind of a low price to pay compared to the cost of moving quickly and making a mistake.
Right.
And another thought I think that was in there is that you can add that combined cycle later. They'll build it in such a way that if they want to go combined cycle, they can. But keep in mind with combined cycle that right now they're mostly running wind and MISO energy. And the gas and the combined cycle thing would be at least that much or more to run. So it doesn't really pay to have a combined cycle unit in there when the simple cycle gets in by.
Did you request this?
Yes.
Okay. I thought what you requested was the cost to convert the simple cycle to combined cycle down the road, or to not do anything and build a combined cycle down the road. I thought that's what you had asked for. So that's why I was like trying. I really struggled to understand what they provided, but you probably did ask for building the combined cycle today. I just was trying to figure it, twist it into what I really wanted to hear.
Sure. And I might, maybe I'm misunderstanding you, Commissioner Fedorchak, but that's in there too from the 80 $353 million. So there is that incremental increase in construction cost of $273 million.
Which would be?
The extra amount from the simple cycle to the combined cycle.
But I guess what I was wondering, and I think it's still here, it's just the but how much of that would you have anyway? The 253?
The 273 million?
The 273 is the incremental cost to build Heskett combined cycle.
You're talking construction cost for the simple cycle?
Like to convert the simple cycle to the combined cycle.
Right.
How much does that cost?
I think that is.
That's 273.
Yeah. The additional construction cost, if my understanding is correct, is $273 million. If you go to the next box down, that is by doing it all at once as opposed to
right.
a later date. That 273 will be the same. However, they would save $14.25 million on the high end if they did it all at once
right.
as opposed to
right now.
Right.
But if you were to do nothing and build the combined cycle in when it's needed, what was that cost?
So it would
that's
be
not on here.
Sure, it'd be the 270, it'd be total amount if you mean in the future or
in the future. Sorry. Like doing nothing.
Sure.
Not securing the site, not securing the transmission rights, not securing the air permits, all of that, building a brand new one when it's needed, what does that cost?
Right, without the incremental increase from simple cycle?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that's on there.
Right.
Isn't that the 353?
No.
That would be at a later
date. Well, I mean, plus inflation.
Because that doesn't assume that doesn't take into the cost for an interconnect that you don't have, an air permit that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't take any of those costs into consideration.
Sure.
So that's, and that was to me one of the big selling points for doing this now was because you're securing the transmission and you're securing the. You've avoided the air permitting from ground zero.
Well, I agree with you on the losing the interconnection if that happened. I'm not sure. I don't know whether it would or
it
not.
It would. You only have so much time to
but
those.
The 353, building it now, or whether it's a few years down the road, I'm sure if they build it now, they need the air permit too.
Yeah, but they can convert the existing one. It's not a new source. That was a huge variable in the rationale for doing it now. Having to go through that new source permitting.
Right, saving that existing transmission.
Yeah, because right, the way they do it now, it's they avoid it, so they have better emissions netting based on going from coal to gas versus from zero to gas.
Right.
And I don't think they really expect this thing to run at that high a capacity factor to where it would justify a cycle at this point.
Yeah.
Well, they said 1-2% of the time.
Yes.
But the problem is that nationwide, everyone is closing stuff down and counting on these kinds of solutions,
mm-hmm.
all assuming someone else will keep something more stable going, but that's
true.
Bigger picture than this case.
True.
Oh, there is in that final box, I'm seeing it a little more clearly now. Costs avoided by building simple cycle Heskett 4 as a replacement generator versus combined cycle project at a later date.
So that is what you were saying?
Yeah, that's the transmission study and upgrades could be 5 to 100+ million. Who knows what that would be. And then the air permitting netting is 19 million. So, yeah, that's a substantial amount of money. Okay. All right, that's all I had to talk about.
So the cost of the incremental cost to build the Heskett combined cycle is an additional $273 million. And in all of the calculations and comparisons, return on equity was factored in as well into these numbers, correct?
Yes.
the return on equity, I do not believe was placed in this.
So for an incremental cost of $273 million, if the ROE is, just for simple math, at 10%, that would be $27.3 million a year.
Sure.
Well, the first year, and then it'll slowly depreciate, and the ROE will come down. So what's the break-even point on that ROE in comparison to the additional $5 to $100 million? Does that make sense?
Sure. I couldn't tell you off the cuff, but I'm sure we could get a filing on that if you'd like to.
Because it seems like, okay, as it depreciates, slowly depreciates over time, the $273 million at 10% would be 27.3 in year one of operation or upon approval. Following year, it might be 26.2. I'm just throwing general numbers at, but it'll slow. But essentially, they will see a return of approximately, call it close to $100 million over the first 4 years, versus them making the conversion. That makes sense.
I see where you're going with it, but I would probably want to look and evaluate it first before I came off the numbers.
Of course, that's under the assumption that ROE wasn't factored in. And it.
Mm-hmm. I think this was strictly just cost savings,
yeah,
for construction costs and MISO interconnection and so forth.
So that's one thing when I was going through this. It's like, wow, from a timing standpoint, that's such a wide range on the MISO transmission study, between 5 to 100 plus.
Could be even more.
Yeah.
But could it be 5?
Could
not
be.
None of them are showing that right now, but...
Could it be 50 to 60?
Well, that's because you have no idea. You have no idea, because this is assuming that you're starting at a different place with no...
Yeah.
Like, a whatever size facility, mm-hmm, being added to the grid, you know? So if there's... It depends on 100%
so,
how many other things are added in that same area and how much new transmission is built and everything else.
Whether those other things are being added that would go the same way.
Right.
And remember, they're retiring Heskett 1 and 2, and that creates space on the line for the new CT. And then also, if they're going to make that a combined cycle, they're going to have to add another boiler. And so it's a major operation.
I think all those additional costs for new boilers, though, are in the spreadsheet.
Jerry, could you do a calculation, or Jack, whomever,
sure,
on the combined cycle versus...
simple cycle.
CT plant?
The combined cycle versus the simple cycle, what if they converted 5 years from now and then we factored in return on equity? I know the wild card is the MISO transmission study cost.
Well, you would avoid that. You'd avoid that because you've secured the...
Yeah, we can check, but I just don't see that they're going to change this to a combined cycle in 5 years. The whole thing is, with only being used 1 or 2% of the time, it has such a low capacity factor that it's just going to run whenever they are during peak periods, and that's going to be mostly it, like in conservative operation type things from MISO.
So you're listening to
that,
avoided cost, right, by building the
yeah. because they don't have to do a study.
Yeah, they, if there's capacity, if there's energy available on the market, they'll take that long before they turn this thing on.
So, and this is what I'm assuming from reading this, is if you build a combined cycle now, you have to do a study. If you do a combined cycle 5 years from now, you have to do a study. That's right. Isn't that right, Jerry? So those costs could be between $500 and $100 million now or 5 years from now.
And I don't know on the study how much capacity this unit has compared to what they're losing with one and two. Mm-hmm. If I remember right, one and two together were like 100 megawatts. Something like that. But I don't take my word on that. I can't remember. I remember that one of them was a fluidized bed unit that was brand new when I got here, when I started here.
And did they build that without an ADP?
Probably.
Because I don't think they had ADPs then.
No, they sure didn't. And back then, the fluidized bed was something kind of new and promising for coal.
So, Jerry, in the order that you, the draft order, you referred to it as Heskett 4 throughout. Do we identify in the order on whether it's a CT or a simple cycle?
I think in the first paragraph.
Is that in the first one?
Or second paragraph, something like that.
Oh, it is. Never mind. It's, mm-hmm. it's right. Okay. So this is to construct a known operator. Simple cycle combustion turbine.
Yeah, and it's limited in the settlement up to that amount.
So we're talking the $80 million and...
$68.7 million.
Or 68.7. Well, on the number they provided, it's... They have cost of... Oh, right. We've got some other factors, so...
Well, I'm ready to go with it once staff determines whether the most clear and best way to handle that time period is to do a new settlement or just make it more clear or as written. I just wanted to bring it up as something to investigate that we handle it the best way.
And that kind of, when you talk to Jack, but that kind of is your call. I think it works as it is, and or them doing a new settlement works, or throwing that language in there like you were talking about what if they don't like it. I need Jack to write something for that, though.
If you would like me to work with the parties, let's come back with either a joint settlement or a stipulation to what the manner in which we're proceeding, just so that we don't have to keep the case open longer than we could do that.
And I don't need another work session. What sure. You conclude is will be fine with me.
And you think that'll be pretty straightforward in terms of just confirming with the company, getting something officially in writing that, yes, and that's what I heard as well, that they were agreeable to the 7 year, but just having it.
I think ultimately they'll be agreeable to the changes.
That's a pretty simple process. I mean, is that as simple as just an email, and can you confirm that you're in agreement with the 7 year?
Once we get the exact language down, I believe that it'll be fairly quick. And we could disperse it, and unless there are concerns, then it sounds like we'd be comfortable moving forward.
So we could, I don't think, obviously we don't have time to get it on this week, this coming meeting, the meeting on Thursday, but we probably could get it on the following.
I believe we probably could do that.
Okay.
Very good. I was hoping for Thursday.
You were hoping for Thursday?
That kind of was. I've been looking at this a long time.
I'm not disagreeable to Thursday, but Jack, sure. Pressure's on. Can you make it happen?
Well, I'll try.
Don't take it as putting the pressure on. No.
There really isn't too much, so there's a possibility.
There's kind of some pressure with it.
If it's simple, I'm fine with a late edition.
I think it'll be simple. I was actually just waiting to have the discussion before I did it.
Well, I'm agreeable to having it on. Still having it on this week because I don't think the order is really going to change a lot. It's just going to be a minor adjustment to the order, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And then I would have to make a couple of certificates, get the PCNN certificate for it and everything. And then that can be easily done too.
Is there any concern aside from the more rate-making mechanisms or anything that we need to discuss on the PCNN? They're all kind of intertwined to a degree. But
I have no other objections.
Me neither.
Okay, so we're gonna press to try and get this on the Thursday meeting?
Sure.
Yeah.
In a non-pressure situation, in a pressurized way.
I think there's a good chance.
Okay. Excellent. Sounds great. Okay, I don't have anything else. Jerry, anything? Any final questions or thoughts?
No, I should be good. Jack, can you call me?
Yes. So did you want me to call you tonight or tomorrow? Or
you could call me whenever you can talk to me.
Okay, sounds good.
A little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I think we're wrapped up this work session on, and I'm going to do it again just to make sure I've got it right, 19-306, 19-307, and 19-317 is concluded. Thank you, everyone.